And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexrode. Happy to have our friend Paul Kaharsky in today for Robbie Stanley, Robbie and the family. It's a Disney week for them. Ian Safar in the house. Paul Kaharsky, it's been a while, man.
Well.
How are you?
I appreciate being invited back in the building.
Yeah, what?
I cut it close.
Did you
I'm out of practice?
Did you de-offend anyone to get back in here? Like how did this happen?
Laying low, dude.
Keeping your mouth shut.
Get disinvited. Go back. I see. I provided fodder. I mean, you did some ridiculous pot smoking thing of me and Feinbaum, and
oh yeah, it was
I
great.
Came across it, and I told you I'm off limits when I'm not here.
We can't
use
you.
You go ahead and create your own. Create your own stuff.
I'm sorry, man. I just every once in a while I've got to say, Archie. I mean, I just got to do it, you know?
I heard something like that somewhere, and I thought of you and your pathetic imitation and
well, I've got
how
a,
it's connected to me.
I've got a variety of them. I kind of like Stilly's imitation of you because it's like it's basically like Lou Holtz. Like it's kind of good
for Stilly to like with the way he sounds for him to make fun of the way anyone else sounds when all he does is scream nonsensicalities. It's quite amusing.
Is that your computer or my computer?
Off.
Okay,
it's
making
off.
Noise. Well, yeah, but I mean, if when I listen to my voice, I think I sound like an absolute moron.
Nobody likes the sound of their voice.
Yeah, but mine is like, blah, blah, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I,
blah, blah, blah,
so
blah,
I make,
gout,
I
blah,
make,
blah, 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 gout.
I'm wearing flip-flops today, by the way.
Is that to relieve the pressure on the feet?
See, first of all, Ian, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great. Great
good.
To see you,
know, you
guys
you don't
today.
Have to break up the whole flow
no,
of the show
I,
to say
I
hi
need to
Ian.
Take a pose, because the thing is, I got way into, you know, these gout updates, and then we get into other shows saying, hey, let's get a gout sponsorship. Yeah, I think I've damaged my foot, is what happened. So I thought it was over.
Nerve damaged your foot with gout.
Well, I thought I was good, and I played hoops, and it was a pretty intense, you know,
are you
going to
be walking with a cane soon?
I don't know. I mean, I'm walking okay, but
I mean,
I
that's
still...
like seriously sad and seriously fucked. That borders on a dog in a cone, which is simultaneously funny and sad. There's nothing more simultaneously sad and funny than a dog in a cone. But you with the cane would be right there.
Yeah. I don't think I'll have to have a cane, but
if you had a cane, I would bring you a top hat to go with the cane.
Yeah.
And then I would tell Robbie to bring you a monocle to go
right.
with the top hat and the cane. And
the planter's
tuxedo.
Man.
Tuxedo? Yeah, tuxedo and eat some peanuts.
Or like a Monopoly Monopoly guy.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. But those canes are like, I guess I always looked at those canes as like fashion canes, right? I'd be like the crooked wooden cane.
Well, you
cane,
should try like, to make it like a fashion cane. You don't have to explain that you're 54 years old.
Oh, I'm not. I'm much younger than that.
With
thank
the
you.
Cane.
I'm not your age. Yeah, no, it's like the gout thing is, I mean, it's
real.
It's serious, man. It's like you're not messing around anymore. So, I mean, like, I think, like, I do not even think about beer.
Look up that number of Omaha steaks for me, Ian, for the break.
No, it's funny because, we went and got like.
And the beer a month club.
We got sushi, and you know, I usually get a salmon teriyaki anyway, you know, but then usually the kids get you know steak, and it's like I had like one little. I tried one.
No.
I know, man. I mean,
you've
that
got
alone
to
is
show some restraint.
Yeah, I know. So
maybe I need the gout to stop me from. I need chocolate gout.
Chocolate gout. Well, I think chocolate could. I mean, sugar and stuff like that. Also, it's not the worst. But it could potentially, it's something you avoid also. So, yeah, you're on a chocolate binge this summer?
Just on a binge. I mean, I haven't stopped eating.
Well, good for you.
I mean, I was on vacation, so, I mean, I guess I get the excuse.
Yeah, you should do that on vacation. And we had summer baseball, summer ball going
so,
on for the
summer
lab.
Baseball, we're in Indianapolis, which it's like a bomb went off there. Every road is under construction, but there's no work going on. So, like, over by the JW Marriott, three lanes closed off, pulling in,
ooh.
But nothing going on. Hmm. So, like, four lanes merge into one lane for no reason. There are traffic cones and barrels everywhere. My wife thought it was a terrible city just on that alone, and she wasn't wrong. And then to go to these fields, which are spread out all over the place, I had to do like literally like 12 different exits. The Apple Maps was like burning out. My phone was going to burn out. And then it was just a poorly run tournament. There was a little bit of weather on the last day. Simon's team had to win Nashville Select on Saturday in order to be one of the best eight teams of 23 teams to get into bracket play. They slipped up a little early against a bad team. They're losing 4-3, top of the sixth. Men on second and third, no outs. And the umpire calls weather delay.
Oh.
And then the weather, and there was no real discernible change in the weather at that point. And then, so that's a 15-minute delay. And then during the 15-minute delay, they decide 30-minute delay, game.
Oh, man.
So they lose when they're on the verge of taking. I mean, if you had let one more batter go, they were going to tie or take the lead. Tying or taking the lead would have changed the whole tournament. They would have gotten Sunday. So it's just crap. So we come home with that bitter feeling. Come home for a day, go to Jersey, visit my mom and my brother, which is great. Get to the beach, which is fantastic.
You in the situation, hanging out on the Jersey Shore.
Two summer things I want is a swim in the ocean and a major league ball game. So get in the Atlantic. So my brother's pool is 85 degrees. The Atlantic was 75 degrees. My kid somehow is allergic to the cold, something we've never heard of before. But we thought it would be like, you know, if he plunged into a cold lake in Oregon or something, it would be a problem. He shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
He's in 75-degree water. He loves it like I do, like craves it like I do. Breaks out in hives all over his body.
From 75-degree water?
Yeah. His mom finds him some Benadryl. And he toughs it out and goes in two more times anyway because he's not missing his beach day.
Yeah.
But, you know, itching like crazy. It's like a full breakout, like he ate, like a kid with peanut allergies ate peanuts or something. It's totally bizarre. Third time in, he's just keeping his arms up. Like, discovered a way to, like, all right, I'm going to avoid it on my arms. I'm going to have an arm day today.
Arm-free ocean day. Yeah. So what's the temperature line?
He might grow out
like
of it.
Like, if it's, yeah.
He might grow out of it, they say, which is the hopes. But he's had this just in cold weather with short sleeves without any water involved. And then Saturday night, second row seats behind the dugout, behind the Angels dugout at Citizen Bank Ballpark, saw Mike Trout up close, saw Kyle Schwarber hit a grand slam to take the lead for the Phillies. Great night. It's a great park. And my kid is more into the Phillies than he's ever been, jumping up and down with his mom, hugging, and high-fiving strangers.
So that's her team?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And her big family, who's all based there, all into it. I had no chance, really, in the numbers game.
Yeah.
So he roots for the Yankees, but he's a Phillies guy.
Yeah, okay. So all in all, good summer, though.
Yeah. Still,
do you feel like it's over, man?
Oh, it's over.
It's over.
They're still there. I flew back at 5:30 in the morning.
I mean, we're less
yesterday.
Than 2 weeks from school starting.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It should be
total
criminalized.
Yeah.
But, and camp is nothing like camp was. I mean, you look at a camp schedule and there's nothing to it. It's a very soft practice schedule. But there's still, if you're a football reporter that covered, like, real training camp.
Real two-a-days.
There's a dread that's connected just because it's called camp, and you still have that feeling as if you're going to be there all day, every day.
But, I mean, look, you know, the thing is, back then, if you know you're going to be out for, like, a total of, like, 4 or 5 hours out in the heat, that chocolate's going to melt off you, right? I mean, you're going to be in fighting
I'm not one of those guys wearing a
season.
Jacket, like the coaches.
Like
I'm
Vrabel?
Not wearing a jacket
Vrabel out
to
there with
sweat
his long
it out.
Sleeves. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's not going to take away from the nine, you know,
so
high life.
So many coaches do it. I don't get it. I did a story on it one time.
Did
very
you?
Well received. I had a collage of Vrabel in like four different jackets.
I think I remember this. By the way, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. If you'd like to join the conversation, hit us up on the game phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. I already have somebody who is suggesting stem cell therapy for my gout, so I appreciate
that. That's a great idea.
By the way, just for the record, I did not bring up my gout issue today. So I want everybody
Are people tired of gout? I'm never tired of gout.
Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
Yeah, because, I mean, I had an attack that was rough. I mean, it was bad. We're not even going to get into this. I'm not even going to get into this. But basically, it was like tacos, beer one day, and then shrimp fajitas, more beer the next day. And then the next day, it was like just the thing was blown up. It's like, how could you be this dumb?
So red meat and the shellfish all combined in the one weekend.
Red meat, beer, shellfish, the trifecta of death all together in a two-day span. Yes. So we have a lot to talk about today, of course. We've got Berserker, as I call them.
What would it take for us to get you out of that?
We're going to play. You got that ready for me? Hell yeah.
Oh, I'll get it ready.
Yeah, because Vingan's trying to go with this Gonzi scheme, which is not a bad play on words. It's not a bad play, but it's only Mike Borgonzi. I mean, this is Berserker is inclusive. So they're talking today at noon.
But
you
it's
will
not
be there.
Burr. It's Bore.
Well, we're counting Burke, too. So, see, you got Burke and Bore, so you could go Berserker. I mean, it's versatile, man.
Oh, Burke Nihil.
Yes.
Force.
No, I think it's pretty beautiful. And especially,
yeah, we know you do.
Especially with the audio that we have to accompany it.
Yes.
We are going to, of course, talk about Will Levis. Of course, this story broke 1 second after we went off the air
yesterday. I was
going to
tell you that.
Of course.
I was texting you about my availability for this morning, and I was going to say,
oh, by
the
way,
about to be really pissed off.
That's okay. I mean, we also had an hour and a half yesterday knocked off because some idiot knocked a pole over here across the street, and we had like 8 trucks trying to fix that. So we're planning on a whole show today for you folks, and we are going to get into the big story of yesterday, and I think it's a really interesting conversation about Will Levis. People are mad at Will Levis right now, and I want Kaharski to tell us if we should be mad or not. So we'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie. And, Will Levis, the news breaks, of course, a second after the show ends yesterday that he is out for the year. So I knew that there would be a storm of conversation about this, Paul. I think in particular because of the timing, because this is an injury that goes back to, I mean, it goes back almost 10 months. So at any point during that time, you know, you could have elected to go this route. Some people are mad. Some people are saying very nasty things about Will Levis. Some people on this station are saying very nasty things about Will Levis. What is your, and I know you wrote about this, and one thing that's clear is that this is Levis's decision, Levis's camp's decision, not the Titans' decision, correct?
Yes. All right, let me first give you what I believe is probably Levis's rationale. All right. Before I tell you what I think of it, here's what I think Levis is thinking, Levis and his camp. Came out of the season, this shoulder was still an issue. Now, he hurt the shoulder first in Miami in week 4. We know, you know, they gave him the bye off. Then he played the next game. Then they gave him 3 games off. So I don't think it was well managed out of the start.
Real quick, was he dishonest with them?
Probably. But real quick.
And then he comes back
Callahan,
and says, I'm
hurt. As a rookie coach, probably, like, you want your quarterback to be honest. And look, he pushed to play. You always want your quarterback to push to play. You want him to be honest. But the coach also has to be able to monitor or get the guy to tell you the truth. So, is it a failing of Levis to be completely honest? Yes. Is it also a failing of Callahan to A, see it, B, sense it, D, A, B, C, see, you know, figure it out. You know, yes. So I don't think he's culpable as well. All right. Then they get to the point where the shoulder's an issue and they're going downhill and they want to change things. They go to Rudolph for 3 weeks. Then, again, later in the season, week 14, he takes a sack from Josh Hines Allen where he lands on the shoulder very badly. He misses a couple games there before they go back to him for the opener. So week 14, I think, is December 8th where he had another incident with it. So,
and this is right not too far after the win at Houston, in which he played well.
Yeah. So I think if you're Levis, it's conceivable this is the scenario. You come out of all of that. You take off January. You're resting it and rehabbing it as you're supposed to. You're following all the protocol. You go out to Jordan Palmer for 6 weeks, rehabbing it as part of that. You come back here, you do OTAs, you're a good team guy, you do minicamp. As far as we can tell, looks like you're throwing fine and all of that, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You finish that, you've got another 6 weeks here where you're resting and rehabbing it. You get to this point, you say, "What? You know what? I wanted not to have surgery and to come into this season, but I've done all of that stuff to this point, and now it's still bothering me in a way that's going to affect me. And you guys drafted somebody over me and I'm still pissed and I don't feel good about this situation. So screw it. I'm going to go ahead and have the surgery and be right in a year." Now, I think the Titans, are saying that's not what we're advising you to do. We don't think that's the solution here. Doesn't make much sense to have the surgery now. You can help us as you are and have the surgery if it's still a problem after the season. Will Levis, as with a healthy shoulder in 2026, will not be seen by any other teams in the league as over the shoulder thing? Nobody will see him throw. It won't help his trade value. We don't know where the Titans will be with quarterback. If you presume that Cam Ward will make it through the season and have an upside, his position, his standing with the Titans won't have gotten any better or worse, except they'll be pissed that he did this to them. So I don't know how it improves anything for Will Levis, except kind of rubbing the Titans' nose in it that they can't have him this year.
Are they pissed?
I think they're pissed.
So do you think everything you laid out there from the Levis perspective is feasible? Yeah, I could buy all that. I could also believe if someone said that this was the plan all along, or the plan for quite a while. Like, yeah, you know what? Bag it right before the season, and then get the surgery, and just don't have to deal with any of this stuff. Is there? Let me ask you this: do you believe there was? Okay, a couple things. When you watched him throw this spring,
no sign of anything.
Zip was fine. All this. Okay. So, do you believe...
No, I wasn't looking for anything.
Sure. But, I mean, he looked like a Will Levis throwing the football.
But listen, when guys have pretty minor stuff, they don't hesitate to hold the guy out.
Right.
During OTAs and minicamp.
Right. Like, why?
They held Zeitler out for oldness.
Exactly. So, if there's anything at all that's bothering you, why would you even take part in that stuff?
Right.
Okay.
Totally fair.
Do you believe that he might be concerned about, losing the QB2 job to Brandon Allen? I mean, he'd still be on the roster.
I mean, the guy, look, we know him pretty well. That would be really counter to his personality, to me, to wave a white flag to Brandon Allen. But I don't see it. I mean, I'd see it more as having trouble accepting that he's has no chance to beat the number one pick, but I can't see him saying, and coming to terms with being a backup. I can't see him thinking he's losing to Brandon Allen, and I don't think he would lose to Brandon Allen. I think, maybe there was a scenario he's going to get traded. A lot of people were on that train. I wasn't. I don't think there was going to be much value in that, and I think he's a good notch better than Brandon Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I still was holding out a belief that you might go out there in the preseason, have a couple good games. Again, some of it would have to be like, oh, and then someone else lost their QB, a backup or whatever.
And it's like,
okay.
You know. I think it runs counter to the competitive feel that Will Levis has given off in his time here, as we all know him.
Yeah.
Which suggests to me CAA guided him this direction. You know, handsy agents set a strategy for a guy, and he said, yeah, okay. But I don't think Will Levis went to them and said, hey, you know what we should do? Or, you know, here's a way that I could screw the Titans. Or, you know.
So, okay.
It doesn't feel like Will Levis to me.
I hear you. So why is this a good strategy from the CAA perspective?
I don't know that it is. I mean, it would be a good strategy from the CAA perspective if he's a free agent next year. You know, Chance Warmack did this. He had a bad toe, and he said, "All right, I'm done
because
I'm a free agent next year. So I'm going to get this fixed instead of gutting it out for you. I'm going to get it fixed and get myself on the market next year as a healthy guy." That makes sense.
And remind me what the market was for him.
I don't even remember where he went, but he had a fresh start scenario instead of hitting the market hurt.
I mean, if you're Will Levis right now, first of all, everything that we just talked about, other teams are, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, obviously people know agents, people can talk to each other, you can probably figure it out, but there's still a little bit of, you've now opened a little bit of a doubt about, like you just said, this is contrary to what we know about Will Levis, right, and his competitiveness. Also, you are now declaring that you have a shoulder that was bad enough that it requires surgery, so you're damaged goods physically.
How does this help anybody? One sort of win for them. They can say that last year's failures were shoulder related.
I mean, everybody who watches this flip against Chicago is like, oh man, that shoulder really.
That was pre-injury.
You know, yeah, that's right.
That was pre-injury.
So
he made some stupid decisions, but then he hurt his shoulder, and the protection was really poor, and Will Levis was bad after week four because his shoulder was messed up, and then he got hit again, and his shoulder was so messed up that he couldn't solve it with rest and rehab all the way till July 29th when he had to have surgery that cost him a season. But again, sacrificing a season.
I mean, if you're watching film of Will Levis and you're considering – acquiring Will Levis. Is anybody watching film last year and say, you know what his problem is, that you know he doesn't have any zip on the football? I'd say it's probably his decision making. And you know, certainly you can also say his problem is that like his tackles can't block for him, but right. I don't think you're looking at it and saying
he can't throw.
Yeah, I don't think that's the thing. All right, when we come back, we're gonna continue on this and also get into should the Titans go get another quarterback. Robbie and Rex are 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 through the game. Paul Karski in for Robbie. Ian Safar talking some Titans, talking some Will Levis. We got the variety of reactions. Some I would expect. Some people are like, I don't care. Who cares about Levis? That's fine.
Who cares?
I understand. I got a texture here saying, do you think Levis felt tricked by the Titans, where he thought if he continued to rehab his shoulder, the Titans would trade him to another team to give him a chance, and when he found out he wasn't getting traded no matter what, that he was upset and then decided to go ahead and get the surgery?
Somebody has to want you. How is he tricked?
Yeah. Yeah, tricked
Why
is probably –
come up with these conspiracies?
Well, tricked is probably the wrong word there, but I do
– They never promised him they were trading him. Never.
Maybe wronged because they didn't move him, right?
They never promised him they were trading.
Even if you're not promising him, there's probably – I mean, again, I made the presumption. You didn't, to your credit. But I'm like – to me, again, as we talked about, I wouldn't – if I was these guys, I wouldn't want the just a year ago, he's our franchise guy, to be around still when it's like, here's our franchise guy. We just drafted with the number one pick. I wouldn't want to do that. And I do – by the way, what you said about Levis, I think it's worth repeating. I mean, I think he – came in, has been a pro about it, did the stuff. You know, it wasn't like...
Showed himself to be human, said it sucked, his adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, but then you do this, and, you know, for whatever it matters, for whatever it's worth, I think you lose a lot of goodwill.
I find it to be out of character.
So should the Titans go get somebody else?
Who? I mean, if you look at who's out there free agent-wise, brace yourself. Carson Wentz. C.J. Beathard,
okay.
Teddy Bridgewater, who's otherwise occupied, Jeff Driskel, Tyler Huntley, Ian Book, Jaron Hall, Carter Bradley, who I don't even know who that
Ian
is.
Ian Book. Forgot about him. Fighting Irish legend.
None of those guys are better than what they have right now. And by what they have right now, I'm not talking about Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle's not going to be on this team. Tim Boyle's terrible. They know Tim Boyle is around.
He's filling a spot in practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just going to – I mean, look, personally, I wouldn't do it. And you laid out one reason, which is –
Well, you have to deal if you're getting somebody. Everybody's going to say Jake Browning. I don't know why Cincinnati
– They did just bring in Desmond Ridder, by the way.
Yeah, he's in the last year of his contract. But, again, Cincinnati's got problems. And if Burrow's been getting hurt. Jake Browning has shown he can win some games when Joe Burrow's hurt. I don't know why you're eager to give that up in exchange for Desmond Ridder. It's terrible.
I'm of the mind that, look, you hope that Cam Ward is good and is healthy and you can have a productive year with him and win some games. And if something goes awry, okay, pick at the top of the draft next year. I mean,
yes.
There's no one that expects this team to do anything.
Entirely.
Sure, in the locker room, they'd like to win. But, like, if you're a guy – in the locker room right now, and you can just do what you just did and Google the available quarterback. I mean, you understand there's no great answer. So Brandon Allen is QB2, and
Levis wasn't a great answer. I mean, Levis was a hopeful answer, like maybe this guy's improved some stuff and learned and still has upside. But it wasn't like an automatic that he was going to come in and be good. I just think it was automatic that he was going to come in and be better than Brandon Allen.
Yeah. Well, and we had that back and forth too, which is Brandon Allen a robotic safe game manager? Because Levis obviously isn't. So then it's like what you're looking for. But Chris says, who are you guys going to blame this year for a crappy team without Levis? I mean, do you really think that everything was blamed on Levis? He got a fair amount of blame, and I think he got rightfully removed from the job.
Think Levis was a scapegoat last year?
Yeah, I mean,
they could line up scapegoats last year. Rand Carthon, got fired.
Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, the offensive line, the defense.
Nicholas Petit-Frere, sure. You heard that name?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think Levis was solely scapegoat. The quarterback always gets more, too much credit, too much blame. But
sounds like he's a defender of Levis. Like
there are quite a few. Still.
There's a really there are quite pocket a few still. Of people that think that Levis is. Somehow unjustly faulted for terrible decision making.
Yeah, no, I mean,
else's fault that Levis, his throwaways landed in somebody else's arms for pick sixes, or that he felt obligated as he was going down to try to pitch balls to running backs.
So, I think this for our purposes. Are you going to all the preseason games? You going to travel to the two games away?
Yes, as of now, that is my plan. I'm not going to go straight from Tampa to Atlanta because they have kind of 2 days off there, and I could save myself a couple nights. So I'm coming back from Tampa, but then I'll drive down to the Atlanta practice and I think stay for the game.
Some of the, probably – highest interest once you get out of the starters is probably like Levis playing a half a game, and that's out now. I will say, and I understand that this is not there's not a huge chance of this, or there wouldn't have been a huge chance, but Levis in the preseason looks awesome. Cam struggling like a rookie. Cam loses three straight games and stinks. This is where and in the locker room. I mean, it is feasible that guys are like, I'm so sick of this losing crap. I mean, right now, eight's better. I mean, yeah, Cam's the future, but eight's better right now. What the hell are we doing? That's off the table now, which I think is, if you want to find a positive, I think there is one right there. Again, I don't think that, a lot of things have to happen for that scenario to come around. But, yeah.
That conversation is still going to exist. People are going to say, wow, Cam's not ready. I sure wish Levis was here.
Right, but now they can just be mad at Levis.
Right.
They can just be mad at Levis and not like, hey, Callahan, what the hell are you doing? This kid is struggling. give him a break. Look at what happened in Carolina. They gave Bryce Young a break, and Anthony Richardson sat down, whatever.
The during the season break, when a kid's beat up and needs it, you can do that once, like they did it with Levis. All right, he's banged up and he's a little deer in the headlights right now. We'll turn to the veteran backup and put things on pause for a while.
Right.
That's kind of gone.
Yeah. So we've got, you got Levis defenders. There are some. And again, I agree with anyone who is saying, Levis shouldn't be blamed for everything, but no one reasonable was blaming Levis for everything. We also have,
it's never one guy.
As always, we got this texter saying they shouldn't have drafted Levis. Anyone see him play against the Vols? He was terrible, awful, terrible. Yes. Will Levis, he's at this point, it looks like the way he played his last year in college should have been taken more seriously, and maybe the excuses about OC leaving and offensive line being terrible shouldn't have been taken as seriously. But those, I still think those things are true, by the way.
Just a refresher course on Mr. Brandon Allen. This guy has, over his career, he's played in 18 games. Let's make sure I'm in the right place.
I honestly can't recall watching him play football.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you can't recall it, because here's what you would have seen. A 56.7 completion percentage, 11 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, a 100.6 yards per game average, a 76.2 quarterback rating. I mean, he's just a zero. I don't believe in quarterback record. Really? But if you want that, 2-8.
Yeah. Can you tell me 2-8, and that's, bad teams. Bad teams.
1-2 with the 2019 Broncos. 1-4 with the 2020 Bengals. 0-1 with the 2021 Bengals. And 0-1 with the 2024 49ers.
Look, if Cam Ward went down and Levis was available, would the Titans have a better chance? I'd say so, especially as you lay that out. Levis still has the talent to go win a game like he did last year at Houston, right? He played well. They won. But if Cam Ward gets hurt or is performing so poorly that he gets benched, this season is – exactly. We're talking about Arch freaking Manning instead of whoever is quarterbacking the Titans, even though I don't necessarily think he's going to be that guy, but we'll see. All right, we come back. We'll continue on this, and we're going to start looking forward also to today. Big day. I got some questions for Kaharski on his questions. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexha. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie. People are reacting. Some people are sniping at each other on the YouTube chat and the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. This is not me bringing it up, Paul. This is LD from McMinnville bringing it up. Just want to make it clear. He says, so Jared yesterday called Levis a quitter and a loser, called L'Jarius Sneed a loser, called Jeff Simmons a loser, called Brian Callahan a loser. Do you guys routinely call players and coaches losers?
No. No, I don't. I think it's a completely unprofessional, lame, and lacking depth, texture, nuance. What, shockingly, that's show.
So, yeah, it might be, at least mix up the words. Yeah, nincompoop or something,
And I'll say it again, and he denies this all the time. When you say a guy sucks, then you need to go stand in front of him. But he comes out, goes to a press conference, and very rarely in the locker room finds it unnecessary. Yeah, it's convenient to find it unnecessary because the guy wants to yell at you or kick your ass. He makes it like he's in front of those guys. He lacks stones.
It would take some heat off you too if Stilly was in there once in a while. You know what I mean? Guys get pissed at you sometimes. Stilly's over there.
He thinks they all know who he is, and I have a newsflash for him. None of them know who he is. They might know his voice and they might know his name, but if you ask him, can you match the name with the face? Fortunately for them, they don't know the face.
I'm gonna guess that you're wrong on Simmons. Simmons probably knows exactly who he is.
Yeah.
And
one guy. Yeah. There's 90 guys in there right now.
So, again, I didn't bring it up. LD from McMinnville asked it. No, I think that's lame and simplistic and dumb. But he did have his expectations, which I know Ian.
It's name calling.
Yes, it is name calling.
You grow out of that.
I like to name call. Sometimes you're a D-bag, but yes. I still love you.
Here, face to face. Kind
of, right, sure. Yeah.
Amongst friends.
Yes. I outweigh.
But he acts like he's friends because he calls everybody by their first name. You know, Jeffrey is a loser.
Oh, really? Is that what he does?
He does a lot of first naming.
Well, what is he supposed to do? So he should say Simmons. He just calls him by the first name. I've missed this.
He calls everybody.
Does he call him by nicknames?
Yeah, it makes it sound like they're pals. Like they're buddies. The one guy he should call by first name is Peter. Peter LaViolette, his friend whose autograph he went.
It always circles back to that. But Ian, so he did his expectation show, which I think he came up with 4 wins. What? And I know last year you were the most pessimistic Titans record predictor of all. So what did you come up with? So they do. I like this. It's will win,
yes, it's
will
a very
lose,
scientific
should win,
formula.
Should lose. Uh-huh. And then you count those as wins and losses. And then toss-up games you split.
Yeah.
And then that's your expected record.
I don't love the game. I don't love predicting.
I'm asking for Ian's prediction. What's your prediction?
I mean, the predictions are, you know, it's hard. And you go back and you look at the list from last year, and some of the ones are completely flip-flopped, you know, and they end up winning a game they shouldn't have won, and that's always bound to happen. But, you know, it's scientific formula. You can't mess with math.
You went to 5?
Yeah.
So wait, didn't last year you go with 4? Okay.
What'd you do in the division?
Interesting.
I put the Colts, Jacksonville, both, all 4 of those games as toss-ups, and then would lose and should lose for Houston.
I mean, I think the division
usually.
I really don't like the Colts. I really don't like the Colts. And last year, I don't predict win total, but last year I had the Titans finishing 3rd in the division.
Ahead
of the Colts. Okay. And I, you know, I'm not there yet. I need to see some stuff, but my feeling would be probably the same. Now, I mean, I just think the Colts are a mess, and I don't know that they've bottomed. And I think the Titans will start to ascend, certainly above 3 wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the Colts. It looks like Daniel Jones is going to get the job, I guess.
I don't have faith in either of those quarterbacks. I don't have huge faith in Cam Ward either, but I can see shaping some game plans that will favor him. You know, look, I think the whole offseason – and this happens every year, and I talk about it every year – has been too enthusiastic about people that we shouldn't be so enthusiastic about. I don't know what you're getting out of 4th-round receivers. I don't know what you're getting out of Draymond Jones. You know, I think the pass rush has the potential to be, you know, pathetic, pitiful, just consistently disappointing.
And if that's the case, boy, does that hurt a defense.
Yeah. And so then it doesn't matter how good the secondary is. I do think some of those secondary players, even if L'Jarius Sneed isn't out there or isn't effective, can be good. I think Denard Wilson is a good cornerback defensive coordinator, and that guys like Baker and some unknown out of this pool.
Brownlee played well last year.
Are going to emerge, and Brownlee will continue to emerge. And I see good things coming for the secondary. But like you said, when the pass rush doesn't come, secondary being good for the amount of time they can be good for will prove to be insufficient.
Yeah. All secondaries are going to break down. You give them enough time. L'Jarius Sneed saying it's the healthiest he's been. He's on the PUP list. What's up with him?
I mean, this kind of ties into the Levis thing. This should be the absolutely healthiest you are right now on report day. You've had nearly 6 weeks. You had that whole off season where they didn't ask you to do anything you couldn't do, and you were rehabbing and everything. Today is the healthiest you will be all season. Now, they could say, well, he's going to lay low and he's got two more weeks, four more weeks of getting healthy. I mean, when is he ever going to be healthy? If not now, when? So it's a major concern that he can't do it now. What it is protection, right? Because if he hurts himself now doing whatever minimal stuff he's doing, you're kind of protected.
And just to be clear, this obviously is the knee. We're off the quad now, right?
I mean, I don't know. For sure.
I mean, how could the quad still be a thing?
I don't know. This is a miracle quad injury. The miracle on the it's terrible. Miracle terrible.
Yeah.
We'll get some clarification on that in the next 2 days. Also, listen, I mean, I'm working on stuff about his case. Guys on PUP don't talk.
Yeah, that's true. I think you've said this before, but just to make sure we have it on the record, if there's a suspension and they can get the hell away from him, is that snap your fingers and that's what you're doing?
I don't think that there will be a suspension before there's action in the criminal case. And I don't get the sense that action in the criminal case is coming anytime soon. But, I mean, I call pretty much once a week to check if it's on the grand jury docket.
I'm sure you don't annoy them at all. I'm sure they love the sound of your voice.
I actually got a different person yesterday.
Oh.
And I don't know
hey, you answer it.
I don't know that the main woman has come to recognize me. She just knows that she gets a weekly call about this case. But it's a very simple phone call. Hi, I'm calling with a warrant number to see if there's a grand jury date set. What's the number? Give her the number.
Nice and polite.
All I can tell you is that nothing, the case has not moved forward.
Obviously, if they want to be competitive this year, it's hard for me to see that defense. Like you said, if the pass rush is terrible, then I don't care if it's, you can put Deion out there in his prime and, like, people are going to be open. But Legarius Sneed is a big part of the puzzle, right? I mean, coming together, you have to have – because I think the corner play – we did a positional thing last, ranking the positions. You know, I had corner and I had defensive tackle at the top, and those are still questionable to a point, right? I mean, I think Sweat and Simmons will be good. Will they be really good?
Don't know.
Will they be great? I don't know. Corner could be pretty good. McCreary, Brownlee, second
year. How
about
McCreary? Very visible in the last month. Now, there's a guy who's
just
determined
on Good Morning Football? Well,
he's been visible on social. He's going into a contract year, and he's decided, you're going to see me. You're going to hear me.
Should they extend him this summer?
I don't know that this team should be extending anybody now. But
I mean, if you can get him at a decent price, he's a solid football player.
No,
players do you have?
Yeah, I want him on the team beyond this year. So, yeah, if you could get him now, I'd get him now.
Okay, so that'd be a good question for Borgonzi and Brinker. Interesting situation. I don't remember the Titans doing this. I don't think too many teams do this where report day is your front office talking. Coach talks tomorrow on first practice day. I think that's right. That's kind of unique. But they are going to talk today. Carhersey's going to ask some questions today. That's one for them on his extension, and there's a lot more that I'm really interested in from those two guys. We will get into that next. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.